conducted in South Africa with colleagues from Brown University, Oxford, and KwaZulu-Natal universities. So I want to acknowledge my co-PI, Dr. Lucy Kluver at Oxford, and my co-Is, Marisa Casale and Tyler Lane, who were at KZN, University of KwaZulu-Natal, as well as Oxford. So today I want to concentrate our discussion on findings on the mental health of adults caring for children orphaned by AIDS or made vulnerable by parental or caregiver HIV illness. And throughout my talk, I want to use the term caregiver really broadly to describe surviving biological parents, extended family members, and other adults who are playing a parental role in these children's lives. So let's begin by looking at the epidemic in South Africa. South Africa is the country with the largest number of people living with HIV, 5.6 million. And HIV prevalence is high, with an antenatal prevalence of 30% and a general population prevalence of close to 17%. And the data I'll present today is from the worst affected province, that's KwaZulu-Natal province, and the communities where we worked had an antenatal prevalence around 39%. At the start of the HIV epidemic, we were focused primarily on preventing and treating HIV. But since then, I think that we've really made some great strides in our understanding of the relationship between mental health and HIV. And even over the past 7 APHA conferences that I've been to, there's really been a growth in this area of focus. So for example, researchers are examining how pre-existing mental illness can increase the risk of HIV infection. We're starting to understand the psychological consequences of living with HIV and coping with illness and deaths within the family. And we're also now even having a better understanding of the neuropsychiatric effects of the virus. And although we're recognizing the importance of addressing the intersections between mental health and HIV, I still think that we have a ways to go, especially in highly affected settings such as sub-Saharan Africa. Indeed, the WHO continues to rank HIV and mental illness as the leading causes of global burden of disease in these countries. And while we do have a growing body of mental health research on HIV-affected children, so those who have been orphaned by AIDS or those who have been made vulnerable by HIV or parental illness, I don't think that we have paid adequate attention to the mental health of their caregivers. And in fact, I would assert that despite the recent strides that we've made in global mental health over the past few years, our understanding of the mental health outcomes faced by these families, and particularly caregivers, lags behind other HIV-affected populations. So let's look at the evidence on mental health among caregivers. Here we see the world resized according to the World Mapper Program, according to HIV burden. And I've transposed studies that examine caregiver mental health outcomes onto this world map. And surprisingly, really little is known about these adults. I also think it's kind of surprising because these caregivers are potentially at risk for poor mental health outcomes, given that they have experienced AIDS-related deaths within their families and are taking on responsibilities of caring for children, which can be, at times, very stressful. So in 2000, there was only one study on the mental health outcomes of this population, shown in black. And in the next decade, the number of studies had grown to 7. And in yellow are the studies that have taken place since 2010. And I know that there are many other studies that are currently in press. So certainly there has been an explosion of growth. But many of these studies continue to take place in settings such as the USA, where the epidemic hasn't hit as hard as in South Africa and elsewhere in sub-Saharan Africa. And many of these studies did not use large samples or comparison groups. I think that we need more studies that are based on large representative samples that use community sampling, and we also need more longitudinal studies. So what did we find in terms of caregiver mental health? I'd like to present data from 2 large community surveys that our team did in urban and rural communities in KwaZulu-Natal province. I don't want to dwell too long on our methods, and I can certainly go into that if there are questions, but just to emphasize that our data is drawn from representative community samples using GIS mapping, and we also use comparison groups to assess differences in health outcomes between families affected by HIV including illness and orphanhood, and those that are not affected. So the picture at the top right is from one of our urban field sites, and the picture at the bottom right is some of our interviewers at work at our rural field site, just to give you a sense of what these communities look like. And our questionnaires were designed to capture data from low literate populations by using pictures, which you can see here. So the questionnaire, adult questionnaire on the left, this is an example of how we captured information on economic assets within the household. And on our right, my co-PI, Dr. Kluver, along with our teen advisory group, led the effort in making our questionnaires really child-friendly by copying the layout of a popular teen magazine that you guys probably know really well, 17. And I also want to mention that we did spend a great deal of time on staff capacity building and training. And I think that this is such an interesting issue to touch upon when you're working in these community settings. For example, in one of the communities that we worked in, there were unemployment rates of 50%. So we really felt ethically that we had to hire from the local community, but we wanted to balance that with ensuring that the data we collected was scientifically rigorous. So we went through an extensive process of mentoring where we brought a core of our very experienced urban field team to the rural site. We moved them there. We went through kind of a team training process. They were paired off when they went into field. There was a lot of assessment and supervision. And I'd be happy to talk about that as well. But we recently published a paper on that if you're interested in reading more. So let's look at our study population. A large proportion of families in our sample were affected by AIDS orphanhood or living with HIV or both. And these HIV-affected subgroups are shown in the various shades of red. And that so many families were affected by HIV is not surprising given the really high antenatal HIV prevalence in the communities that we worked in. In both of our studies, reports of poor mental health were high, including self-reported symptoms of anxiety, and depression, which were around 30%, and PTSD, which was around 19%. And even more concerning is that the findings that emerged when we compared caregivers of orphan children, and we found that these caregivers of orphan children were much more likely to report anxiety, depression, and PTSD compared to caregivers of non-orphan children. And these differences remained in our logistic regressions, and I've just cited some of the papers where that data has come out in. But this isn't the full story. AIDS orphanhood and the loss of family members is not the only type of HIV risk for poor mental health outcomes among these caregivers. Being HIV positive is another important factor to consider when we're looking at caregiver mental health. And here I've taken anxiety as an illustrative outcome. Here we can see a similar pattern of disparities when we examine anxiety among caregivers who were HIV positive compared to those who were not. And you see that in the bar on the far right. But our team was really starting to realize that we still don't fully understand how different types of HIV impacts, including how living with HIV while simultaneously caring for a child orphaned by AIDS might predict psychological outcomes among caregivers. So we wanted to try to disaggregate and detangle various HIV impacts upon poor mental health in these households affected by an HIV-positive caregiver, AIDS orphanhood, or both. So here again, I've taken anxiety as an illustrative outcome. And I think that if we're really to understand the needs of HIV-affected communities and these families, it's essential to realize that people can be affected by simultaneous exposures to the impacts of HIV. And we need to detangle whether or not these effects are cumulative or if they're separate. We need to try to understand what that is. And so I think what's really striking here is the bar on your far right, shown in dark red. And here we can see that 61% of dually affected caregivers, that is caregivers who are living with HIV while caring for a child orphaned by AIDS, were the most likely to report clinically relevant anxiety symptoms. So the story that's really emerging is that there's cumulative risk for poor mental health for these caregivers. For caregivers who were dually affected by HIV illness and AIDS orphanhood, they were drastically more likely to report anxiety, even after controlling for sociodemographic and household differences. Our logistic regression showed that these caregivers who were dually affected were five times more likely to report anxiety. And I think we're really left with the challenge now of trying to understand how to meet the needs of these caregivers. We analyzed the pattern of healthcare utilization, so that's current healthcare utilization among these caregivers who need mental health services. And interestingly, out of all the sources that these caregivers are turning to for their mental health needs, psychiatrists are lowest on the list, which you can see in the bar on your far right. And maybe this isn't surprising given the South African context where there's only 0.28 psychiatrists per 100,000 and 0.32 psychologists per 100,000. But that doesn't mean that we need to ignore the problem given such high need. I think we really need to consider how to boost access to mental health services by integrating mental health into primary care, and when appropriate, even thinking about delivering mental health services through non-specialists who are appropriately trained and supervised. We also analyzed whether HIV-affected caregivers, quote, needed services for mental health but did not access services, end quote. So not surprisingly, given the data that I showed earlier on the disparities in mental health, HIV-affected caregivers reported having the highest need for services, suggesting an awareness that they know that they need assistance. But these caregivers were far less likely to access support. And when we further broke down the barriers in terms of access to services, these caregivers told us that their top three barriers were cost of services, transport costs, and distance to the healthcare facility. And finally, we analyzed who caregivers would like to visit if they had mental health needs. And again, interestingly, very few said mental health specialists. We broke down preferences by caregiver type, analyzing the desires of HIV-affected caregivers who had the highest mental health needs. And these caregivers, those dually affected, were significantly more likely to desire mental health services outside of the formal healthcare system. They listed people such as support groups, family and friends, other sources within the community. And this suggests that mental health services really needs to be made accessible within the communities and perhaps even embedded within the community context, not necessarily delivered within a clinical context. So let me close with a few thoughts. Together, our studies combined with the existing literature provide really strong support that we need to develop psychological interventions to meet the needs of these caregivers, especially those that are dually affected. Our data also suggests that there is a really important family dynamic going on in terms of HIV illness and orphanhood and how that affects risk for caregiver mental health. And importantly, we see that there are combined effects of being HIV positive while simultaneously caring for a child orphaned by AIDS, that these dual effects exponentially increases risk for poor mental health among caregivers. Overall, I think our findings emphasize that we really need to target not only the individual caregiver, but also design interventions that are geared towards that family dynamic and geared towards some of the structural factors that are affecting their mental health needs. And I think this is a major issue, especially when we're looking at the evidence around family-based interventions for mental health for these HIV-affected families. Dr. Vikram Patel noted in his Lancet article on global mental health that only a tenth of randomized controlled trials for treating mental health disorders are occurring in low and middle-income countries, even though these countries are disproportionate in terms of their need for mental health services and interventions. Currently under development are a handful of family-based interventions for mental health that specifically target HIV-affected families, and these are taking place in Rwanda with Zhao Mingling's team, who are here today, in China, and in the U.S. And our team is currently in various stages of developing interventions for these families, including adapting two evidence-based family interventions for HIV and depression to this context. And I think it's important to think, as we design these interventions, whether or not they're contextually and culturally appropriate, and whether or not they really can be rolled out in a sustainable and scalable manner in a context in which there are very few clinicians, but we still want to deliver very high-quality mental health services for this high-need population. So before I open the floor up for questions, I'd just like to recognize my mentors and collaborators and our wonderful field teams who are pictured here on the right, and also thank our generous funders. Thanks so much.